Remix. Rewind.
This is the remix.
No, this is the rewind.
Welcome back to your favorite podcast. I'm the one and only Jasmine J.
What's up, y'all? It's Jay LaVon.
And it's your girl, Jada Kalise.
And this is
Remix and Rewind.
And if you're new here, this is the place where we introduce you to new music, artists, theories, and ways to connect your real life to the music you listen to. Today's episode is going to be loaded from conversations about pretty privilege, male pretty privilege, and the potential for stardom. Now, first, we're going to touch on something that Saweetie said about her thoughts on pretty privilege. Essentially, she said that people talk about pretty privilege, but they don't talk about pretty punishment, and that contributes to her being counted out in the industry and leading to animosity. Now, I want to know what y'all thoughts are on her comments.
I just feel like pretty punishment is not real. I actually seen a comment on the TikTok from her interview, basically saying that pretty punishment is just an excuse for pretty people to use when they go through misogyny that they didn't expect to go through. And I think that's a great point, and I don't think it's real at all. And I feel like you're not counted out because you're pretty. You're counted out because your music is lazy and it's not good.
I also think Saweetie, like, the reason she even got in the door is because of pretty privilege. So for her to be like, oh, I'm punished, I think you are just not realizing that the reason that you got here in the first place was not necessarily due to your music. And so now you think you're being counted out when really you were really never counted in, for real, if we're being honest.
Clock it. Mm. My whole thing to that is, what are you saying to other artists who are equally beautiful? The music industry is full of some of the most beautiful women you'll ever see. You get what I'm saying? That's a part of the whole point, is that these are not women that you see walking around the store in the Walmart every day. Mm-hmm. You all benefit from pretty privilege at some point or another, because everybody in the music industry is conventionally attractive. So if that's the case, who's sabotaging Beyonce because she's pretty?
Exactly. And not even Beyonce. Like, I wouldn't even use Beyonce in her case. I would say, why isn't Megan Thee Stallion's career failing? Especially after everything she's been through.
Exactly. And she ain't did nothing but glow up.
Hello.
Since she came out, so.
Shoot, low-key, not even rebranded herself, but she has a better image now.
She does. I also want to, like, tap into the Mariah the Scientist, mm-hmm. because I think a lot of people think she may benefit from pretty privilege, but if so, she would have been sabotaged if Saweetie was right.
No, right.
Because, girl, Mariah the Scientist don't have the vocals and the pipes like that.
Hello.
But the difference is, people call you artists out when y'all are not performing well. We not listening to Saweetie because Saweetie can't rap for real. We listening to Mariah the Scientist because her pen is there, but we know her vocals are not.
Yeah, right. We do criticize her, and her fans, like diehard fans, they criticize her as well. It's like, she may not be the best singer, but she's good at this.
Exactly.
And I feel like with Saweetie, she has that, but not in music. You may not be able to rap, but you could be a great businesswoman.
A great model.
A great anything but a rapper.
There's also nothing really, like, innovative about her music. Tap in. Like, what that mean?
And back to me saying that she was lazy, it's like, most of your songs are samples.
Yeah.
You don't even have a real producer for real to produce beats that people could be like, yeah, this, put on that new Saweetie, a bump. You don't even have that. So what are you doing to get out of that?
Exactly.
It doesn't seem like you're making strides to get out of quote unquote pretty privilege.
And whenever I listen to her music, and this isn't me trying to bash Saweetie, all of the songs are pretty much the same. They don't have any substance. There's nothing. They're just like a cute little sound, which is how she got here in the first place, a cute little sound. But a cute little sound is not going to hold you in the industry for a long time. So I don't think she counts that, like, factored that in when she made that comment. But it's also a mindset, too. If you have the mindset that you're just being counted out because of this reason, you need to look around you. What else is going on? Because it's like the same thing when girls are like, oh, like, people don't like me because I'm pretty. Because she said that this has been going on her whole life, apparently.
She did say that. Mm-hmm.
Girl, you need to look around. What's the main issue? And I don't think it's you being punished because you're pretty. That's not it.
And to piggyback off of that, she did a Vulture interview at one point, and she talked about how she attended an artist development boot camp after fans criticized her stage performance. And she described a huge learning curve, you know, from when she first started rapping. So it's like, you in the past have admitted that you're not the perfect artist.
Exactly.
So to turn around years later and be like, oh, well, I'm not successful because of pretty privilege, or I'm not where I should be because people want to sabotage me because I'm pretty. At one point, you were taking accountability for you not being the artist that you should be. And now, because you're still not the artist you should be, now you want to blame it on your looks.
Exactly. And at the same time, it's also your fault. It's the fact that she doesn't want to take accountability. I'm not where I'm at because of me. I'm not where I'm at because I'm not putting pen to paper for real. I'm not where I'm at because I don't got a producer for real. Mm-hmm. But I can pull from the archives and sample something and make it, you know, a little cute little TikTok soundbite. That's what it's giving.
Yeah.
She wants to blow up off of that because other artists have blown up off of that. But it's just not happening for you, girl. We tired.
No, right. You have to build too. You're not building. Like I said earlier, you're not building on it. The songs sound the same.
Yeah.
There's nothing personal about, I don't know nothing about Saweetie from her music.
That's real.
She icy. Like, I'm not learning nothing new.
An icy girl.
No. A part of me even feels like a hypocrite because at one point I was a Saweetie fan. Like, I used to defend her, like, in high school. Like, I really liked some of her songs. But as time went on, I realized that everybody else was right and they just saw it before I saw it. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because I really wanted her to be an artist that did succeed and did go somewhere. I never thought she was, like, the best rapper or nothing, but I just wanted to see, you know, where she would go from here. But she never really went anywhere. And she had moments where she could have. Even the Doja Cat Best Friend song, like, you've benefited from Pretty Privilege more than you've been held back by your beauty. Exactly. It's actually pushed you to be more than you would have been otherwise.
That's true. That's a good point, too.
Yeah.
And there's also artists like her and people who've, like, strategically hid the way they looked, and their music prevailed in the end. So it's like when people try to use the excuse of, like, oh, it's because I'm pretty and people are trying to sabotage me. If your music is really that, like, and obviously this doesn't apply to every single time, but if your music is really that good, people are going to find it and people are going to gravitate towards it and you're going to build a fan base. If your music is not, it's not of substance, like, her, like, regardless of what she looks like, first of all, she's gorgeous, but, like, even regardless of that, when she wasn't showing her face, people gravitated to her because her music is genuinely good. Yeah. People still listen to her because her music is genuinely good. Not that Saweetie, well, she's, well, is hey. She?
The fact that you gotta do all that speaks for itself. Like,
it does.
And I also wanted to touch on, like, other artists that have benefited from Pretty Privilege just to drive our point back home some more. Like, because, girl, what are you talking about? It just... I don't know. But, like, one of the main people I think about, especially in the rap genre, that benefit from Pretty Privilege is Ice Spice.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, like, a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer. We all know that she's not that girl for real when it comes to the artistry or the lyricism or anything that it takes to be a rapper outside of catchy songs. She'll make a catchy song down. Like, I listen to Ice Spice. I do, you know? Shoot me. But she ain't no real rapper. I can still admit that she's not a real rapper. She's just a pretty girl. She can twerk, you know, and she likes skin.
And I will say, like, once she kind of changed her look, things started elevating for her as well. Like, once she started, like, with the wigs, the outfits, biting off Miss Cleo girl.
Trapper.
Yeah, biting off of her. She started to elevate for real, and people looked at her in a different light.
And that all has to do with aesthetic, not talent.
Mm-hmm.
Her music did not change.
She
was making the same music. Her look changed.
She literally started talking. Once her look started elevating and she changed her aesthetic, she started rapping about how she's the fart and nobody side-eyed that, and she kept rapping about stuff like that and nobody side-eyed
oats and farts. That's it.
Like, that's it.
No,
because she looked better, you know what I'm saying? It's not, hey ma'am.
It's like, it's, you really can't say much because it's like, dang, like, are we all really that shallow to like look at somebody and be like, yeah, this person is conventionally attractive, I'm attracted to this person, they look decent, and ignore the BS music that they're putting out?
We do that all the time, though.
People definitely give grace when it comes to somebody who's attractive.
And that's the Pretty Privilege that we're talking about. Like, you'll give so many more chances to somebody that looks the part than somebody who may not, quote unquote, look the part but has all the talent. You'll put the time into, you know, waiting for them to put out something well. Like, I would say, like, even me with the Saweetie thing, I think it was Pretty Privilege for me to even be a fan of hers for so long.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for her to get better. I wouldn't have done that to somebody who I didn't think was gorgeous.
I feel like that applies to Mariah the Scientist, too. Because you were saying, okay, yeah, she has good penmanship. But if she just had that and she was not conventionally attractive, or she didn't have that look, people would not wait for her to get better on stage. People would not wait for her to get better in the booth, you know what I mean? Or get better to sing live or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and I also think a part of it has to do with colorism, because a lot of these artists that we're bringing up, and I'm going to get to Cassie in a minute, she's not off my radar.
Hello.
But a lot of these artists are lighter skin complexion or look ambiguous.
Exactly.
Everybody wants a foreign pop star. Everybody wants somebody that don't look like the girl down the street or look like their parents. And I think that plays into it as well, because I don't think these dark skin artists get the same amount of chances or the same, you know, passes for certain things when it comes to their artistry or their music or their talent. They don't.
Yeah, like, I think about it every day, how we were just talking about this earlier, Jasmine Sullivan should be bigger than what she is.
Exactly.
And I think it's probably because she's not conventionally attractive to most.
And she's a beautiful woman, but I think because she has been plus sized for a lot of her career and she's a darker woman and she has, you know, not the most European features, she don't have that many chances. She has to work so much harder when we know that she has one of the best voices, the best pens, and the best artistry in the entire R&B catalog.
She's a powerhouse when it comes to music.
She is.
Quite literally a powerhouse.
The definition of a powerhouse, like time and time again, award shows, the Tiny Desk, her albums. The fact that she only has one Grammy to her name actually blows my mind.
Yeah, that is insane.
And she's been in the game since 2006.
Yeah, and it makes you question, like, you've been in the game for this long and you're still, and other people are being spoken about more than you. Like, I know that has to sting. Like, yeah. Why in conversations where your name should be brought up are people bringing up people like Ari Lennox? And it's not to, like, not even to, like, hate on her or anything, but it's like, my first thought is never going to be Ari Lennox when it comes to R&B. I'm going to think of Jasmine Sullivan aside from, you know, the other R&B girlies like Summer and, you know, stuff like that.
I do want to correct myself. She has two Grammys.
But even then, that's not enough.
It's still not enough, but I just wanted to be, you know, correct.
Right.
She need to be holding Grammys like Michael Jackson was holding in that one.
She does. She definitely needs a Grammy sweep. She deserved one, especially for Hotels. Like, she deserved that.
Yeah.
You know, it bothers me. But now onto my Cassie rant, my long-awaited Cassie rant.
He been waiting for this one.
I want to start off by saying Cassie is a beautiful woman, and Cassie seems to be somebody with a really good heart and soul, you know, sending love to her and her family. But however, Cassie cannot sing, but
never
Cassie
could.
Is a very successful singer. Somebody make it make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Cassie would be one of the world's most beautiful supermodels, and I think that was a lane that she should have went into, because music, girl, what? My problem with Cassie is that she does not have strong artistry. She does not have strong vocals. There's no depth in her music, and worst of all, she cannot even sing her own songs live.
Yeah. The performance that you showed me, what performance was that?
That was the performance from she performed Me and You for 106 in Park in the 2000s, and the track was...
It was horrid.
It was horrible. Like,
it was
y'all,
horrid.
She couldn't even sing on top of her own track. She couldn't even hum along. Like, like, it was... I can't even replicate it. It's so bad. Like, and she continued to have a career after that.
Mind you, Me and You ain't some song where it's like you pulling out crazy vocals.
That's not.
That's why I put the emphasis on her own song.
Yeah.
She wasn't a cappella. She wasn't hitting somebody else's notes. This is your own easily singable song that you couldn't even do, but we gave her more push than a lot of other artists around that time. Her peers that were much more talented than her didn't get half the push, half the money behind them that Cassie got. And why? It's because she's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, like, the songs that were hits for her, Me and You, Long Way to Go, I remember we were talking about Long Way to Go. You know how much you know how much better that song would have been had somebody else sung it. And you know which somebody I'm talking about.
Okay, why you can't say it? Why I always have to be the one to say it?
Because you know who you are. All right, this is me. I'm not a Brandy lover. I'm not a Brandy fan, for real, but had Long Way to Go have gone to Brandy, it would have been so, so much better. Now, granted, Cassie did what she had to do on Way to Go. She did what she had to do.
In the studio only.
In the studio only. But it was missing that umph, some type of layering, some type of stacking, something. It was missing something.
Some background vocals. And I really feel like Brandy or any other artist with real musical talent could have took it to the next level. I think Cassie's version almost sounds like a demo tape of a really, really, really good song that could have been a number one hit for somebody else.
Absolutely.
And I think that's unfortunate because, girl, they put so much behind you because you're pretty and because of who you were associated with at the time, but mostly because you're pretty, you know, and I hate that. And it really has no depth, no substance. I've listened to a couple other Cassie songs and they're just all fun, pop, cute little songs that anybody could be singing. It's not even personal to her, which is why I also go back to there's no artistry, because I feel like sometimes when we think about singers, we always think about vocals only, but there's a lot of artists who are not, you know, vocal powerhouses that have amazing artistry, amazing pen, amazing musicality at the end of the day, and they make great music, even if somebody else can out-sing them. It's not just about singing, but Cassie don't have none of that.
Yeah.
She just got a face.
I agree.
And a body.
But I do want to say, like, women aren't the only people that benefit from pretty privilege.
Of course not.
I think the men benefit from it as well.
I saw someone say that Chris Brown and Trey Songz definitely benefit from male pretty privilege compared to people like Daniel Caesar because of how fast Daniel Caesar was kind of, like, pushed out and canceled, if you want to use that word.
He was canceled for sure.
Yeah, he was definitely canceled. okay, yeah, can you cancel compared to, you know, Chris Brown and Trey Songz, who definitely have problematic histories. So what do y'all think?
I think for the Daniel Caesar comment, I still listen to Daniel Caesar. I still listen to his music.
Me too.
He has a very beautiful discography. He's a very talented artist. But his comments on, you know, black people being mean to white folks and all that other stuff, it's like, come on. You know your audience. You should at least know your audience.
Heavy on you know your audience.
You may not be American, you may be Canadian, but you know your audience.
I think that a lot of artists, especially male artists, come out the side of their neck and they say certain things. You can definitely see the difference in the backlash that Daniel Caesar received versus someone like Trey Songz, Chris Brown, August Alsina, all them people that they come out and they do crazy things all the time and we just let it ride because we say it's because their music is so good, but it's really because they look good on top of that.
I was going to say, because mind you, Daniel Caesar is a good artist. Like, he makes really good music. He has a great voice. If you compare that, not saying that Trey Songz don't, but like, for Trey Songz to still be, like, up there and y'all heard about Trey Songz. You know, you've seen what Keke Palmer said about him.
I definitely do want to get into Trey Songz history because upon research, I'm finding out other allegations that I've never heard of.
Like what?
Countless sexual assault allegations, domestic allegations, violent and disorderly conduct. Oh. Got into a fight with a police officer in Kansas City, I believe. Like, most of the women's names aren't said. It's like Jane Doe A and B.
So on top of that, he doing all this crazy stuff and they scared to even come forward.
Hello? I didn't know half of this, and you want to know why?
Because a male prick.
Because
pretty
it's
privileged.
Trey Songz, and he was conventionally attractive.
Which is crazy, because
he's not all that. Like, especially now, he's not all that anymore. And I think some people are starting to realize how creepy he actually is.
Yeah.
The clips I see on TikTok of the way he be looking on stage.
I haven't seen
the
that.
The clips
on TikTok. Oh, they're crazy.
Y'all, we got to look at these clips on TikTok.
And do.
I think 1,000%, because I did not know this until we went to do further research. And I think it's crazy that we didn't even know. Like, on top of the fact that you did it and you got away with it, the fact that the public doesn't even know how crazy you get and how dangerous you are as a person because of who you are as a star and because of how you look and the music you make, it's crazy to me. And I feel like if somebody like Daniel Caesar would have done the same things, he would have been canceled, probably in jail. Like,
heavy on in jail.
Like, that's crazy that you got away with all this stuff because of your name and your face.
You could even argue that because he was an R&B sex symbol, quote unquote. That saved him. That shielded him.
Yeah, that is his whole brand.
Yeah.
His whole brand is being, what's that? Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Mr. Steal Your Girl. That's his brand. Yeah.
And he's still a try.
And then even going back to Chris Brown too, like, we are all aware of his problematic history and there are a lot of fans that are delusional and still don't see how problematic this man is. Yeah, he may make good music and, you know, it's, some people could argue that his music isn't that good anymore, but people still listen. He's still selling out shows and he still has a massive fan base.
Yeah.
But everybody is well aware of what has went down. But I've also realized that a lot of people only bring up Rihanna when speaking on his history. And it's like, there was Karrueche. There was Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean.
Wait.
He definitely fought Frank Ocean.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I think this was in another country. I don't know if they were in France. They were at some nightclub. It went down.
Also, mind you, his whole audience is women. Like, we were talking about Daniel Caesar, like, know your audience. But yeah. Chris Brown doing the same thing to people, you know, in his audience. And I actually listen to Chris Brown still, so I'm not finna sit here and be like, oh, like, you should just not listen. But it's like, hold the same standard. Don't sit here and be like, why y'all listen to Daniel Caesar when he did this and you're listening to Chris Brown and he did that? You know
exactly.
What I mean?
So,
oh, my gosh. This reminds me of a conversation that I had in the last 2 weeks. There was this girl and she was going on and on about why she didn't like Beyonce, she didn't like Lotto, and these were like, they were really moral reasons. She didn't like Lotto because of where her name came from and she was Miss Mulatto and, you know, all of this. She didn't like Beyonce because of basically the Illuminati rumors and all of that.
Illuminati rumors.
Then I asked her who is her favorite artist and she told me Chris Brown.
I also like, make it make sense because you don't like all these people for those reasons and Chris Brown has done everything under the sun.
And I wonder why that is.
I also think for women, like, okay, yeah, looks does play into, like, obviously who's in front of us, but, like, women more look for looks, obviously, in male artists if that's who they're attracted to.
Yeah.
So with the Beyonce, it's easy for her to be like, oh, I don't listen to Beyonce, oh, I don't listen to Lotto, compared to stop listening to Chris Brown. You know what I mean? Because, like, Chris Brown is not just, oh, he's a good singer, he's also attractive, and, you know? So that's very interesting, but it's not surprising to me.
I agree.
That makes sense.
I wanted
almost
to
like pick me energy almost.
Yeah. Oh, Chris Brown's fan base is definitely full of pick me's for sure.
Yeah, just a little bit.
They think that, especially the dark skinned women who have heard of the allegations of him not liking.
Can we talk about thing, it? Yeah. Like, that's y'all, crazy. He's so known for that.
Like, there's just no way you're going to an after party after his concert and expecting to get into his section or his club as an exception.
And the only reason you think to do that is because he's so fine. You think he's so fine that you want to get in his section and you want to be picked by him because you're so attracted to him and because of who he is.
Mm-hmm. Full of pick me's. And it's sad.
You wouldn't do that for somebody you didn't think was cute.
Hello.
You're not doing that for Daniel Caesar.
If Daniel Caesar said that he didn't like dark skins, you'd be like, we don't like you either.
No, that would have been
the exact response from dark skinned women. Chris Brown said he don't want no darkies.
Crickets.
And you said, oh, well, he don't want y'all.
Yeah, I was like,
he don't want the rest of y'all.
He's not talking to us. He's not talking to me.
He's talking to the rest of y'all.
And this is all allegedly, of course. We don't know that for sure, but allegedly.
But these are the rumors that are out about Breezy.
But I did want to go back to the Frank Ocean thing, to pull up my receipts.
Yep.
January 2013, Frank Ocean and Chris Brown were involved in a fight outside a West Hollywood recording studio, allegedly over a parking space.
It's also the thing.
Over a parking space?
Oh, yeah. Chris Brown and his entourage called him a homophobic slur.
Ooh. Yuck. It's also the thing of, like, we're not hearing about this. Like, you said that earlier, but, like, how come I know? Frank Ocean's big, too. How
from
come
2013
I know?
On
how
top
come
of
I
that.
Know he putting hands on Frank Ocean? Because if I knew that, I love Frank Ocean.
This is from 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And we have to do so much digging and research to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's covered up because of who these people are.
Exactly.
Crazy to me.
I think that's absolutely insane.
I also wanted to touch on somebody that I feel like would probably, you know how we brought up Jasmine Sullivan as somebody who would probably have more commercial success? I think the male version of that would probably be Leon Thomas.
Yeah, good point.
I think, and I'm not saying that he's in any way unattractive or anything like that, but I think that it's kind of obvious that he's not, like how we said Trey Songz was like an R&B heartthrob.
Yeah.
Leon Thomas isn't that.
Right.
You know? And I think that if he would be a lot more popular, and he would have been a lot more popular quicker. I feel like he's now just getting the notoriety that he deserves, but I think he's been in the game so long and we grew up with him to a certain extent on top of that, so I think it would have been kind of like a no-brainer for him to be such a big star, but it's only happening so long after.
Mm-hmm.
Also because, he was behind the scenes, so I will give that little bit of credit, and now that he's in the limelight, he would be so much bigger if he was more conventionally attractive, and I think it's really sad because his music should stand for itself.
Yeah. I also wonder if, maybe not necessarily him, he could have wanted to work behind the scenes, but I always wonder if some people or some artists feel forced behind the scenes because they don't think they have the look, or because they're told they don't have the look.
Wow.
That's a good question, and that's something to think about for sure.
I always felt that way about Money Long, because Money Long, before she was Money Long, her name was Priscilla Renee, and she started to be an artist, but she's actually like more profound as a writer. She's written songs like California King Bed for Rihanna. Yeah, and I always wondered, like, did she think maybe she couldn't make it because of her looks? Because she is a dark-skinned woman,
yeah,
and she doesn't have European features. She wrote songs like Don't Wake Me Up by Chris Brown,
oh,
Worth
I love that song.
It by
song.
Fifth Harmony, Timber by Pitbull and Kesha.
Oh, so that's
how
she ate.
I know she got money.
Turn that up.
VSOP by K. Michelle.
Wait, I love that song. Y'all. I love that song.
Imagine by Ariana.
Wait, she wrote that song?
She wrote Imagine by Ariana Grande.
Come on now. Mooney, you all right with me?
Beg For It by Chris Brown.
That's actually so crazy.
Why did she write Who Says by Selena Gomez in the scene?
She was just doing stuff.
Shout out the last episode.
And she ate it up.
She was just doing stuff.
And you see her pen, it transcends genres, first of all. T, she's been writing for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
T, I wonder why it took her so long to feel like she could actually be that star that she ended up being.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like I still don't be seeing her that much. Like, compared to some other people, I still feel like I don't be seeing her.
Like,
and it might be because she's the darker woman.
Exactly. And but, she did have that hit.
Yeah, I do hear a lot about her. Don't get me wrong. I hear a lot about her. I hear her songs on the radio and stuff. But it's like, as far as seeing her, like seeing her on magazines, seeing her on other social media pages, brands, or anything like that.
Being pushed as a big star.
I don't see that.
She's an artist, but she's not she's not being pushed as a star.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That was a good person to bring up. I'm not gonna lie. Never really thought about that to an extent.
And that's where we'll pause for now. There's still so much more to unpack, but we'll pick things back up in part two next week, where we talk about artists who have the talent but may need that extra push into stardom.
And that was
Remix and Rewind.
Remix and Rewind is produced in the studio of WANM-FM 90.5 School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.